Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Resiliency Radio with Rick Allen and Lauren Monroe. Interactive radio to empower, educate, and inspire during difficult times. Featuring live interviews with celebrity guests and cutting-edge professionals working in the fields of health, wholeness, and resiliency. This program is brought to you by the Raven Drum Foundation's Veteran Resiliency Project and is dedicated to all our military and their families. For more information, visit us on the web at www.ravendrumfoundation.org. Welcome to Resiliency Radio, everyone. I'm Laura Monroe, and I'm here with my very charming co-host, Mr. Richard Allen.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to change up my routine because it's a new year. And I've grown in grace and wisdom.
You have.
Yes. But thank you. Thank you for the applause. And very excitable crowd we've got in tonight. And a very special show. Looking back over the last 10 years.
10 years. Yes, this episode is a new episode for 2011. And we've been working as Raven Drum helpers in the world for 10 years.
Fantastic.
It's been fun.
No, it's been fantastic. I mean, you know, just to be able to say that we do our bit, we help, it's great.
We have a very special guest today, too, we want to introduce you to. A friend of ours, a darling friend of ours. His name is Moon Calhoun, and before I introduce him, I want to tell you a little bit about him, because he's so extraordinary, and I know you're sitting here, Moon, but I need to tell people out there how magnificent you really are. I don't know if anybody's heard of Moon. He's a phenomenal percussionist. He's an extremely talented fireball on a fierce transformational journey. He can sing like a serious spanking and talk your ear off between notes. Did you know that? That is the truth.
I've experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
You've driven me.
He's a singer, percussionist, and a brilliant human being. Moon's played with bands such as the Gap Band, Chaka Khan, and many other artists in the L.A. area, also as a singer, too. And we had the privilege of singing with Moon on the Freedom Sessions album when we recorded that in 2008. And he's here with us right now, so let me introduce everyone to Moon Calhoun.
Moon Calhoun.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to get that out.
That's cool.
Welcome
man.
To Resiliency Radio.
There you go.
Yes, welcome. Welcome.
Right on.
So, Moon, you started drumming with us. How long has it been? Like 2 years now?
3 years.
Three?
Three. Coming up. Is this the fourth year coming up this spring? I think it is.
That's right.
4 years.
I can't believe that.
It's amazing, isn't it? God, changed my life.
Yeah.
You've made me want to live again.
No, it's fantastic. Well, we should talk a little bit about how we met him and, you know, through JT and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, we met you when we were recording that.
Record.
Yeah, making the record. And you came in and sing vocals. But I know you've been doing so many things in the past before you met us.
Yeah, what kind of stuff were you up to? In terms of singing and stuff.
Well, I had my home studio. I had a home studio. I'm a drummer singer, so I was doing my home studio and making my own music. But I was hanging out with the guy from Journey. I was doing a little bit with him. I spent a little time with him before I met you guys. Steve, should I mention his name?
Yeah, of course.
I don't want to. Anyway, name dropping. But anyway, I did some stuff with him. He's one of my heroes. I love his voice. But I did some stuff with him in my little ADAT studio and just different stuff. But did you guys want to talk about that I'm a broke neck guy? Talk about that I'm in a wheelchair and
yeah,
about the fact that meeting you was had a lot to do with the fact that
I thought it was a prop.
It's a prop. I'm faking it because I thought the attention.
Because every time I see Moon, he's surrounded by chicks.
Yeah, right.
Well, every time we did a show with Moon, at the end of the gig, there'd be a girl on his lap.
Fantastic, friend.
That's why I'm in the chair. That's right.
No, I think your accident, you know, was a pivotal point in your life. And when we met, it was such a wonderful experience. Within an hour, you and I were sitting down talking in complete trance, you know, just about the transformational journey. And you and Rick sat there for hours upon end just, you know, talking about how you get from A to B when you have such challenges in front of you. And I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why we want you to be on this show and share your journey, because the musicianship is a gift, but your journey is a tremendous gift for people to hear about.
Journey.
Mm-hmm.
Journey. Well, you know, meeting you guys was so great. At the time when I met you, I was kind of in a down period. If you remember, Lauren, I was going through a sort of a depression. I had lost my wife to cancer a couple years before. So, so I'd been kind of recovering from that. But meeting you guys was so uplifting. You remember, I was having a rough time there. Mm-hmm. But starting to work with you guys and sing with you really helped lift my spirit up again. Been soaring ever since. Have been in your lives?
Well, it's a two-way street, you know. You know, when we interact with you, spend time with you, whatever it is we do with you, it's always an inspiration. And not wanting to get dark about it, but you know, whenever I'm in a place, normally I can call you and you lift me out of it.
Thank you, man.
You know.
Yes.
So
now you have a spinal injury. Tell us how that happened.
Well, how I got injured was I was riding a 10-speed bike about two blocks from my house, and I hit a crack in the street, and I think it flipped the front wheel sideways to the bike and threw me off immediately, and I landed on my neck around the 6th vertebrae. I bruised my spinal cord, a compression fracture, and I was paralyzed immediately. My arms were affected, but I'm technically a quadriplegic, but I've sort of kind of become more like a paraplegic. When you're a quadriplegic, it means all four limbs are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I was paralyzed pretty much immediately, and it was intense. It's been 16 years now. It happened September 94, so it's been quite a lot that happened. And then my wife had been in remission from colon cancer for about 3 years, and after about 5 months of my injury, it came back. So she was dealing with cancer, and I was dealing with a broken neck. It was pretty intense at the time.
How did you get through that? I mean, looking back, what were your anchor points?
Oh, you mean as far as how did I deal with it?
What were your anchor points? How did you keep? What kept you? You know,
I've been in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for since 81, and I think I was supported so greatly by that friends. A lot of friends come to my side. That's key for me. Lots and lots of support. That's so important in life. It's everything. People helping each other. That was a miracle. And June and I were so grateful for all the people that came to our aid. And still, that was number one. And people, all my friends, got me right into music right away. Got right into the studio. Got my own little studio going. Learn how to do things with the limited, you know,
mobility.
Body. Yeah, right, limited mobility. It's really, that's the key therapy, just to get right into therapy and that's healing.
Was the singing a huge part of that? Did you start singing more after you realized that, you know, you weren't going to be drumming as much?
Absolutely. And I love singing as much as drumming, if not even a little more, but I love it both. But the singing, at the time, they go in the front of your neck to get to your spinal cord, so that kind of messed my voice up for a few months. So it took about 6 months before I was able to start croaking out and singing a little bit again. So it took a while before I could get my voice back. I didn't know if I was going to be able to really sing again. So everything was in question.
At
the time, it was horrendous. It was a horrible injury. You just think you can't do it. In the beginning, I just didn't even want to face it. So it was unbelievable coming out of all that.
I can totally relate to that.
Yes, I'm sure you can.
I remember just wanted to curl up in the corner and not see anybody, not do anything. But it was an interesting mix of things, the reason why I came out of it. And it was, like you said, you know, friends, family, and to be honest, a little bit of guilt. I felt like I was letting people down, you know. So there was this real complicated, complex mix of reasons why I wanted to come back.
Right.
Was it the same for you?
Yes. And having such an incredible wife, June, Moon and June Calhoun, we had such a great relationship anyway. She was so behind me getting better. And I worked so hard to be there for her, to get myself together so I could be there for her. Mm. And then when her cancer came back around, man, it was on. I worked so hard to be there for her. And that really, my injury has made me a better person, I tell you. I wasn't a bad person before, but I think selfish and self-centered to the max I was. But it made me really get out of myself, and it's changed me completely in a great way. That's the best thing about the injury.
Isn't it interesting? I know. Isn't it interesting how something that is seemingly so terrible can become a blessing?
Unbelievable.
Especially when you can share your experience.
Yes.
And, you know, that's one of the things that we're really excited to do. Is when people see you play, when they hear you sing, you know, how inspired they're going to be to, you know, to step up, you know, and really embrace how unique it is to be different.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, the suffering that you go through, you know, suffering is a part of life. I've come to realize, you know, before I got injured, I didn't think much about suffering or people suffering. I just thought pretty much about what I wanted to do in the moment I was in and didn't think about much anything else. But once I started suffering and going through my own pain, I'm in a lot of physical pain most of the time. But once you start to suffer, suffer is a transforming experience. Suffering's not, nobody wants to suffer, but we're in a body, we do suffer. And it's just a part, since it's been such a big part of my reality, it's changed me. And you start to notice the suffering of others. And I went to a lot of places where there were people injured worse than me, people that couldn't move anything. And it was unbelievable to go be in the presence. It was scary to go look at people and sit with them. And I never wanted to even go so much as see a friend in the hospital, because you don't know how to talk to people when they're suffering.
Mm-hmm. There's a fear factor.
It's a fear factor. Yeah. And when people would come to see me, I would almost become like the host, because I would want to put people at ease. And there, you know all about that.
Oh,
you
man.
Take care of people. When you become injured and suffer, you become the caretaker of others because you want to let them off the hook.
I didn't realize that was normal. But every time people came to visit, it was like I would push myself to the limit.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It was almost like you were trying to reassure people that you were okay you were going to be okay.
That's really what it is. Because they want to see that. They want to see that you're okay.
Yeah.
And that then they take their cue from that.
Right.
If some do. There were some friends, couple of my best friends didn't come to see me at all. When I was in the hospital 3 months, they couldn't even deal with seeing me at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some that still to this day, 16 years later, I have a couple of good friends that haven't called me, haven't talked to me at all. And then they were at all. And I mean, these people I love. So it's just weird. It scares people.
Biggie wankers.
Wankers. Bloody wankers.
They're not going to get a Christmas card.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No Christmas
they're
cards.
They're also in.
No, but you know what? We have to be compassionate because
it
is very scary to see somebody in such, you know, a changed place in terms of, you know, if you see somebody that's, you know, going through anything, anything that's drastic.
Drastic.
Yeah. So, you know, we have to spare that for people. We have to be compassionate.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Great word, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Something this world needs much more of.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a lot about compassion since I've been in this place.
That's Lauren's middle name.
Lauren. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you about your spiritual journey because, you know, I mean, compassion is the key, I think, you know, especially compassion for yourself when you're suffering.
Right.
And then it spreads out and expands into reaching other people.
To others,
I know you've delved in. We've had many conversations about the spiritual journey and your personal journey. Is there anything, you know, special, you know, that you return to when you know, life is a roller coaster. You're not always fine.
No.
And you need to go into the dark and the light on a regular basis. And it's just like, it's the way it is.
Yeah.
And how do you come back to that spiritual place? What is there anything you do in your environment or in your daily life that, you know, when you feel out there, it reels you back in?
Yeah. Well, you know, in the beginning for me, I was in a spiritual place with my wife before. We were into things together, more of a metaphysical type spirituality. Mm-hmm. She was deeply into it. And I had the spiritual connection sort of born in me through the AA experience, which was the door I came through. But the injury really made me desperate to find an answer. Because when you get injured like that, you're really looking for answer and meaning. Because there's no sense in being injured so terribly, and you don't understand why it happens to you. Hmm. In the beginning, I thought it was, it's almost like I was a child. It was like I thought of all the bad things I thought I'd done and all my sin, quote sin. I thought I was being punished to be injured like that. You go through all of these weird, it's a process of you go through to trying to answer this question, why me? You know, until I started to realize, why not me? Things happen to others, why not you? But it's your ego. You think, this can't happen to the great me. But yeah, everybody feels like it's me. You know, we're all so self-centered. But I started to expand my,
your search?
The spiritual thing. I started, as a person, I started to open up. Sort of started to blossom, I think, really, as a human being. Like you said, the terrible thing brought about this blossoming of my spirit.
It's
we are is the spirit.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened to us many times. You know, just the whole Raven Drum journey and being able to share seemingly terrible, terrible experiences with people and lift people into new places, new awareness of themselves. And, you know, that is the gift. Mm-hmm. That's the gift right there.
Yeah.
You know,
it is the gift.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always, for me, soothe or fix the darkness. I think the darkness we go through is part of the spiritual awakening. You can't sidestep it.
You can't have an awakening without going through the darkness.
Cannot. No. Otherwise, there'd be no need for it.
Right.
Or awakening, if you were going through some darkness. Right?
Or you wouldn't know why. If you just had awakenings, you know, it would be like, well, that was nice.
Yeah.
Why?
What would it mean? What for? Yeah, right. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Hmm.
I think it's definitely an art, a skill to become resilient. It's a commitment. You know, some people are born. You know, we recently we watched this documentary. It's called Happy, and it's a documentary about happiness. And there's a lot of studies being done on happiness right now, and it's fascinating. And they studied people around the world, hundreds and thousands of people all around the world, and they found through their research that happiness, 40% of happiness comes from genetics.
It's 50% is genetics, 40% is free will, and then there's that 10% is, what was it?
10% is your environment, your status, how much money you have, all the things that you think that you need to be happy. All the things that in our life, if only I had, if only I had money, I'd be happy. If only I had a partner, if I had a wife, if I had a husband, if only if I had a good job, if I could walk, I'd be happy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's 10% of
the things we think will make us happy.
Right.
That's
a
small part of what it really is.
Small, and
half
of it's genetics, and the big part is intentionality.
What is intention? Are we on?
I don't think so. Are we on?
We ought to be catching this if we're not. Good.
No, so good, good.
What is intentionality?
It's where you put your intention. It's intention.
It's an attitude.
Yes. It's saying, okay, I want happiness. I want to be happy, and where am I going to, how am I going to make myself truly happy? Maybe being in nature makes me happy. Yeah. If money makes me happy, I'm going to work. I'm right. going to fulfill my life with creating something.
Right. Oh, there was one guy in the film, he'd surfed every day for the last 40 years. And that was his practice. Mm-hmm. That was his spirituality, was getting out there and surfing every single day.
Right.
And this guy looked amazing.
Yeah, I bet.
It was fantastic, really.
Yeah, and they also talked about how there's two different paths to happiness, and one's the internal, one's the external. And the external, obviously, is the superficial path. Buying things, creating things on the outside, and some people take that path, and some people take the internal path, which is the inside, building myself emotionally, spiritually, mm-hmm. relationships, mm-hmm. things you can't really see on the outside, and it's that blend of both, and finding the external can lead you into cycles of, you buy, this shirt's good. Well, for women, these shoes are going to make you really happy.
Temporary.
And then you wear them for like 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. you're there in the closet, and you're looking at new shoes. It's that mm-hmm. constant, need for to fill.
Trying to fill something.
To fill. Mm-hmm. But it was a fantastic film called Happy.
I've got to see it.
Well, yeah, where was it? Bhutan? That was where instead of looking at national product, or the how much money the country made, they started studying national happiness.
Yeah,
and looking at how that changed, just the overall well-being of the country.
What made people happy?
Right,
and focusing on that in their country instead of making money for their country as well. They but they factor in national gross happiness.
Yeah. Wow, that's, I've never heard of that.
And Brazil's taken that on now,
Brazil
too.
Brazil as well.
I heard
the Bhutan.
Yeah, Fijians are like that, I heard, too.
Mm-hmm. Denmark is one of the most happiest countries, too, in the world.
Wow.
A lot of these people have their health care taken care of, their education taken care of. There's not fear around getting ill.
Yeah.
And when there's not fear around getting ill, a lot of people don't get ill because, they feel protected and they feel safe. And, there's
sense.
Restrictions on what's going on in the environment
mm-hmm.
and the toxicity and the what they eat and what they breathe. And it's all a part of keeping people happy. It's wonderful. So I just wanted to mention that because it just had such an impact on me. I wanted to share it with people listening and with you, Moon, too.
You mentioned healthcare. Sorry to interrupt.
No.
You mentioned healthcare, and I know that there's a lot of controversy about different healthcare systems and how it's going at the moment. But I was in England relatively recently. We were in England relatively recently, and it was fantastic to experience again what it felt like to be taken care of by the health system. Going to a doctor. Or, we were spending time with my father, and my father was going through all this incredible treatment, and it wasn't that he was getting it for free. He'd already paid into the system when, he was a full-time worker. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like you're getting it for free, but you paid a certain amount of your money, your wage to, into this almost like a welfare system. And honestly, it is the most incredible feeling when you don't have to worry about where the money is coming from to pay for healthcare.
Really? That's a huge issue in my world.
It's massive.
Money is just a pressure for humans, just in general anyway. It seems so simplistic to think if I just had enough money, my thought is that if I just had enough money where I didn't have to think about money or worry about money, I could really enjoy my life so much better. And that's been an issue with me,
When basic needs are met,
you feel
if you
free.
Have shelter, if you have,
it's huge.
If you have food, that they studied this in this film too. And how, when basic needs are met, that's, as long as that's going on, then people can be really, truly happy. And, they also interviewed people in India and who have nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, seriously, dirt floors, and they don't have, bathrooms. They eat outside on a fire. Sometimes all they have is boiled rice and salt to eat.
Right.
When the monsoons come, it goes right through their living space, and they're very happy people because they feel rich with their family and their friends. And they when you see this kind of happiness, it's very authentic too. Mm-hmm. It's not put on. It comes from deep within them. That you have to think, what's the source of that? Mm. Where does that come from? You know, that inner sense of being being happy. And I think it's a deep spiritual connection and of feeling loved and supported. And, you know, like you said, friends.
Yeah.
And family is everything.
And community.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we started the foundation in the first place. You know, it's been such a journey doing that. And it's based around family and friends and building a community of people to support one another and through music and through healing.
Well, speaking of that, Lauren, how did this organization Raven Drum come about? How did that get started?
When Rick and I, when we joined forces, so to speak, I was doing full-time healing work as a massage therapist and a teacher. I was working in hospitals and also at a college in Colorado teaching massage therapy and energy medicine. And I also was a musician, and I just saw the power of the healing world and how it affected people with rhythm and also with energy work. And when we met, Rick experienced some of my work, and I experienced some of his work, not just the work with the band with Def Leppard on the drum kit, but we started drumming together with hand percussion, using djembes and tubanos and various percussion instruments. We started bringing that into some of the classes I was teaching in the college together. And we started developing a way of meditating and doing rhythm work and then doing hands-on healing. And we just looked at each other and said, you know, this is something that, you know, let's keep doing it. And then we met a friend of ours who was working with kids from Afghanistan that were refugees. And they, one particular child had a missing limb because of a mine. He lost his arm.
Oh, God.
And she brought them to a Def Leppard concert.
Right.
And
actually up at Red Rocks.
In Colorado.
Great theater, yeah.
And these kids were absolutely wonderful. And Rick bonded with this boy.
I sat him on the drum kit.
Oh, wow.
And his face lit up. And from what I can gather, I mean, they're probably, you know, they young men and women now, aren't they? You know,
they're
adults.
About 21 now by now.
Yeah.
But that really just sparked the inspiration for us. And we brought them back to the tour bus and we played and we you know, guided them. And it was a wonderful experience. And we said, you know, this is something that we really want to do. Let's try to bring this to a bigger scope of people. And we got on it and we started developing it. That was the beginning. And then we brought it to California.
Well, Lauren, you had the experience of healing. You missed out that I know you said you work in hospital, but you were working in a hospice type setting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had some of the most incredible experiences. And through your experience, I learned so much. I was able to develop my own language for some of the really, really seemingly inexplicable experiences that I'd been through, going through such a horrific accident like I did, and some of the experiences I went through going through it, and then afterwards coming out of it and going through that period of integration.
Yeah.
And bringing those two elements together, bringing, you know, all the experience together, the combined experience, I think was the thing that really launched the thing and touch people's hearts, because it was coming from truly a genuine place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's important to have language sometimes. I mean, most inexplicable things are the most valuable because you can't put a language on them. But when you're trying to teach people how to find it in themselves, having a few ways you can articulate it and guide people to an experience is important, you know? And I think that energy is a subtle arena.
Yeah.
But people don't realize how profound it is and how it's in them.
Yeah.
And we communicate on a daily basis through energy.
Yeah.
I mean, we all talk about vibe.
Yeah. You know, we're speaking constantly, really, without even realizing it.
Yeah, you can walk into a room immediately and know what the vibe is. And that's not from your intellect.
Nope.
That's from your heart has, do you know your heart has neopeptides in the heart? It's exactly the same as the brain.
Yep.
And the gut.
Right.
And so we have an intelligence in our hearts that speaks and that we can interpret on a regular basis. And we do on a regular basis.
Right.
So when you say gut feeling or you say, well, I really felt that, you know, I felt that. That was heartfelt. You actually, you know, in reality, you are feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling it in even more strongly than sometimes, you know, the way we feel things in, from our brain, from our mind. From our mind.
Right. And you know, I've heard people say that, you know, if you get that gut feeling or if you feel it in your heart, really that's the truth.
Right. Yeah, and it takes a while for us to believe and trust in that.
We're not conscious of it. Exactly. Right.
And become conscious and become aware.
Right.
Because for some people it's a physical hit when you have that intuitive response.
Yeah.
And it's like, it can be, it's, you know, sometimes it's a soft whisper, sometimes it's a physical hit.
Yeah.
And we just have to become aware to learn this
awareness.
Language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With me, it comes in the form of a kick in the pants.
Like kicking the ass. You're funny. There's that line that says, what you are, shout so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. You ever heard that?
No,
line?
It's
what
fantastic.
You are, shout so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Some guy quoted it. But you see what it means?
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Yeah.
You're speaking on a deeper level than what's coming out of your mouth often, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may be saying one thing, but people are getting what you're really saying.
Exactly.
By your vibe or whatever, like you were saying.
Energy follows intent.
Yeah. That's good.
And if your intention is looking for negative things in your life, the energy, your energy will follow that, and that's where you'll go.
Right.
And that's what happens to your physicality, because our cells follow what our energy is doing.
Yep.
So if you're thinking about negativity, energy is following it, your cell tissue will follow soon after.
Bummer, dude.
And you hear about people miraculously healing for themselves through cancer. I mean, just by watching, we talked about this on one of the other shows, just by watching, you know, comedy, and they spontaneously heal.
Right.
And it's where you fix your attention.
That's right.
And I think that it's such a powerful path to cultivate and to learn how to focus your awareness. And the drum circles that we do, that's the biggest tool that we give people, and that's what we're doing. We're training people how to train their minds so that they can focus
on that,
and not be thrown off by the random, you know, ping pong ball that's going around in their head.
The unconscious negativity that's going on. That's what we've got to learn to overcome. Speaking of the circle, how did the first circle come about? How did the first drum circle come
about?
Well, tell me about the first circle. Or do you remember?
I don't remember the exact first circle, but I remember how it evolved, the concept. And how the rounds came about and the concepts came about was through doing. I've done a lot of different healing circles before, primarily with Indigenous people, Native American sweat lodges or Anipis were one of the things that I did, and Rick and I were doing. We were doing them a lot here in California when the early stages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was after this one sweat ceremony, everything kind of just was revealed through that sweat. And after, you know, studying with various cultures, you see that the steps to healing are the same.
Yeah,
and religion too.
All the earth-based. That was one thing we talked about in the beginning. Was that all the earth-based philosophies, if you like?
Mm-hmm.
Even though all these different peoples from all over the planet had supposedly never met, their ceremonies, their rituals were very similar.
I looked at the format for a massage, the way I did massage therapy and healing work.
Yeah.
And it's the same as we do the drum circle. It's basically it's working. It's the invisible massage,
it's
the transformative and transmutative massage, the drum circle, because you start by creating a foundation that's safe
mm-hmm.
and full of protection.
Right.
And then
right.
you access what needs to be released and what needs to be healed.
Right.
And you release it.
Right.
And then you bring in what you mm-hmm. want to fulfill yourself and the healing energy to make you whole.
Right.
And
fill those spaces.
Fill it. And then you're in gratitude. Right. Right. And that's the journey. And it's very simple and it's very ancient.
Yeah.
And it was revealed to me in that sweat lodge. And Rick and I talked about it and said, this is what we've been doing. We just didn't really have the language.
Right.
And now it came through in like 3D. And,
awesome.
We started creating the drum circle around that experience. Yeah.
And then there was Moon.
And
then there was.
You guys have had such a profound effect on me in my life. Just thinking, sitting here doing this first show with you, I was nervous about coming and everything. But I feel so, just once I get in my groove with you two, I'm like, I start feeling transformed and healed and energized. You guys are, you have a great presence, both of you. It's awesome.
Thank
loving.
You.
It's love-based. I think love is the great healer in this. As corny as that may sound.
No, it's not at all. It's
it
not
is
at
true,
all.
Isn't it?
We really
true.
Do. It is true.
All you need is love.
That's right.
And then
right,
we can complement one another. A very good friend of ours talks about celebrating the new normal, John. He's fantastic from Wounded Warrior. And, you know, I had my way of doing it also because I realized that I started to compare myself to myself how I was.
Yeah.
And it was such a trap.
Yeah.
And then I started to compare myself to other people. And then I started to embrace uniqueness.
Yeah.
And then me and John started talking about that whole concept. And I think that's the thing that really comes through with all of this is when we help each other,
yeah.
what we start to realize is that we are really unique in every way.
Absolutely.
You know? Me more than, you know, most, but, you know, you understand.
That's right.
Yeah. Where are we going with this?
Yeah.
There's so many things, so many programs we've actually done, but I'm not sure they already need to be talked about. You know, it's...
Well, you guys, you were just talking about what's so special about the Raven Drum Circle experience in a way, but you want to elaborate on the Weston Park Teen Center, Sheffield, England.
That was one of the we
What's
went
that?
Back to. That was one of the first programs that we did.
Actually, going back to what he said about the first drum circle, that was one.
That
of,
was
that
one
was
of
one
the
of
first
them.
Programs we did, and we brought it to. We wanted to bring it back to England because
right.
Rick really wanted to give back to the hospital that he was in when
right.
after his accident.
Oh, okay.
So we went to Weston Park in Sheffield, and they invited us to come into the. They have a wonderful teen cancer ward there, where they specifically have healing care for teens going through cancer. And
right.
we went there, and we worked with a handful of teenagers, and we brought in the drums right in the cancer ward, and they drummed with us, and we started
wow.
with the format that we were developing there.
You made me go there on my own. You remember that?
The second time, yes.
The second time
yes.
I went there on my own, man. It was like
wow.
But you know what? It was it was really good. And that's what I mean. I didn't
right.
have all this experience. Lauren did,
yeah.
and I'm sitting there going, "What am I doing here?"
Oh my god!
Anyway, I had it all written down, but then it kind of came naturally. It was like, well, you know, like Lauren was saying, create a safe space.
Yeah.
You know, allow people to release, and then allow them to sort of. You know, bring in things that they want in their lives, you know,
yeah,
and then be in the gratitude.
Right.
And it's the same thing. It sort of follows the same form every
right.
time.
Right.
You can't help it.
Yeah, it's natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was very special. That was very special. And it was fantastic, you know, being back close to my hometown. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so that was... That was great. It was like a sense of giving back, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what got you,
you
on the road to your healing. And,
well, it was
and
it was like 5 minutes down the road from again where
yeah.
I was taken care of on the National Health in England
right.
when I lost my arm.
Right.
excuse me. It was part of the same hospital system, and I felt as though this was my chance to give back. You
oh,
know?
Great!
Because I was taken care of. So wonderfully. I mean, just the most incredible people. And again, you know, I was being taken care of when I worked full time, you know, in England.
Right. Yeah.
You know, money that I'd given through taxes or whatever.
Sure.
And I felt just this overwhelming sense of being taken care of.
Came back.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, Rick.
Yeah.
What is this Camp Kilpatrick?
Camp Kilpatrick.
Yeah, what is Camp Kilpatrick about?
That's a medium security prison. It's a detention center for boys.
Oh.
We worked there for about 3.5 years doing drum circles, and we did drum ensemble there.
Wow.
We also had a mentorship program there where we brought in indigenous elders that came and talked to some of the boys. We also had a life skills class there that we did. And
isn't that where we met Carolyn as well?
We met Carolyn McCluskey, one of our board members. Yeah, and Carolyn here is on the switchboard tonight. So, again, a reminder for people.
Yes.
You need to call in and say hello. We'll be doing that a little bit later. Yes.
Dead sexy.
But Camp Kilpatrick was just an enormous experience for us both.
It scared me when I first got there.
Because
they were so sensitive to, if you weren't being authentic, they knew it.
Oh, you couldn't pull,
pull anything.
Yeah, right.
You know?
It was dead real. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That's
it was.
Right.
You had to come from your heart.
Yeah. Right,
you didn't
right.
come from your heart.
No phony, no
No phony,
for,
no.
I love
no.
that.
You had to come. Yeah.
It was
they had serious
right.
radar.
Yeah, well, radar. You know, the fantastic thing, we've got rival gangs sitting in the same room together. And the circle was, at times, was an excuse to kind of, you know, shout across the room at each other. And we didn't know at first. And then, you know, we got wise to it. But then when they started going back to the dorms, it started bringing them together. It was we're the same.
Yeah,
we're the same.
Right.
You know, bringing in the oneness, you know.
Yeah, right. The equanimity. Happens.
Well, one of the things we did was when they walked through the door is that you leave your colors at the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone
That's
here
cool.
is our intention is to create sound together.
Right.
And then we brought them into experience of the healing nature of the circles, which is, you know, releasing things and really looking deeper and going back to the ancestors, which can be a painful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for a lot of us, we have dysfunctional ancestors. We don't want to think about our parents. A lot of people have been hurt physically, emotionally,
by
ancestors.
Sure.
And so it gave them a moment to reflect and to also look at healing some of that and looking at why they feel the way they do, why they're angry.
Right.
And then seeing and sharing. We did a lot of sharing in those circles too, and seeing that member from a gang opposing me had the same situation as I did.
Yeah. To identify.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
going, yeah, your father hit you too. Yeah, I was slapped around my dad too. And my dad's in jail too. And my mother's a drug addict too. And seeing their vulnerability from the other guy, it just changed their perception.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Once you just change perception slightly, healing can happen.
Right.
So, and we saw it right in front
That's
of our
gratifying.
Eyes. It was so profound.
Yeah, it was.
Gratifying to see that.
Actually, that program developed into with the program that Xavier brought in there, which was fantastic.
We continued the program. We brought on a lot of these places we've been to. We'd start the program off. We launch for the first few months, year, and then we bring in other practitioners to continue the program.
Right.
And that's where we did the Drum Council.
Right.
Drum Council was an amazing program for the boys.
It was fantastic.
It was drum circle based, and it was that they'd go through a program into manhood, and then at the end they'd have rites of passage.
Oh.
And we'd have the community come, and they'd perform for them. They would recite their recitation of manhood, of who they wanted to be, the shoes they were going to step into as a man.
Wow.
It was beautiful. I mean, indigenous cultures.
That's what happens in our culture.
I mean, if you're not in a religious path, you don't really have that initiation into adulthood as a boy.
That's true.
Or a woman. And so it was beautiful to be able to do that for them.
That's
and
awesome.
It was a learning experience for us, too.
That's amazing.
It's great.
That sounds incredible. What is this, these special needs programs, the LA Unified School District, is elementary and high school?
We did programs for special needs kids in the early days. It was very gratifying. I mean, you were really inspired to start that program, Rick, when we did it.
We're touched personally. I'm sure there's, you know, millions and millions of people that you know, our cousin, Andrea, you know, she's Down syndrome. And I remember with my first band in England. You know, I was about like 10 or 11 years old. It was a great way for us to play in front of kids that were just eternally grateful and happy, you know, that we were playing this, you know, this music.
Right.
And it was a great way for us to just get better,
get,
you know. But the fantastic thing was Andrea was at this this center where we used to play.
Yeah.
So it really touched me that we had the opportunity to work with, you know, in these special needs circles. And I felt as though, it was a way to give back. And actually, one of the things we learned through that was how much the therapists and people that are working in those circles needed the drum circle also.
Yes, working with caretakers is a huge area.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that even now in our veteran resiliency programs. It's not just about our veterans, it's about their families too.
Everybody. The way the knock on effect or the wave that goes out into the you know, the immediate family, into the community, out into the world, it just, you know, it affects all of us, whether you are aware of it or not.
Yeah, sure. Well, so the Veteran Resiliency Project, Raven Drum, came to focus on war veterans, which brought about the Wounded Warrior.
Working with the Wounded Warrior Project.
Right. What about, tell me about that. Let's talk about that.
That's huge.
A big
one.
That's huge.
And it's such an extraordinary experience for both of us. Mm-hmm. It started when Rick first went to Walter Reed Medical Center, Army in center in hospital in Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually there with Def Leppard, and I was invited to go down there, and it was fantastic actually, because Mark Litton came down. I remember Malvin came down there. A couple of the guys came down. It was fantastic. It was very special. And the only thing that it floored me, just the suffering that I saw.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Am I telling the story correctly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there were a few times that we went, and I was affected every single
time
I went.
That was the first time you went, because I wasn't there, and I remember you called me on the phone, and you were just
I broke down.
Yeah.
Wow. I broke
That's
down.
Really,
it was insane. It was insane. The amount of suffering that I was seeing was just overwhelming. But right by the side of all that suffering was the potential for all this healing. And I saw the incredible work that they were doing there. And I met some people that, you know, to this day, you know, like Norby.
Yeah, we're friends with.
People that we're still friends with. And the whole idea has just really blossomed from that first meeting, because I remember I held it together, and then I finally got back to the hotel, you know, after this roller coaster of a tour around Walter Reed, and just lost it.
Wow.
I couldn't deal. It was horrible. But I think I was releasing a lot of my own
letting
trauma.
Stuff go that had been built up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we went the following year together, and we were able to actually sit in a circle. Well, we organized it a little bit more so that we could talk to people, share with them what we did with Raven Drum. And then when we left, we said, you know, we're gonna really develop a program around this. And so that's where we started the Resiliency Program for Veterans and their families.
How long ago was that? What do you think?
2007 was our decision to do it. 2008, we started developing it. 2009, 2010.
So a couple years
have
now.
Been, yeah.
And it just keeps growing, you know.
This past year, you did some work. One of the circles had some wounded veterans. And that was a heavy day, I remember.
That was really, actually, the main circle that we were going to do got
rained on.
Got rained on.
So
we canceled the whole community circle.
Right.
But it worked out.
The one guy that split, and you told me during, it got a little too heavy for him. Tell me about that. What happened?
Well,
What do you think happened?
I think whenever you do drumming is a very ancient form. Any work like this, you know, it's bound to hit people in different ways. And you know what? he needed to do what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. But I remember when you started calling the release round, it got really uncomfortable for some people.
Well, with post-traumatic stress, with PTSD, so many people with PTSD.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick's included, and I think, and I've had it in the past, and it's a very difficult.
Yeah.
And doing this work is very profound work, and if you're not ready,
right.
you won't want to be in it because it's too
painful.
Overwhelming.
It's too overwhelming. Yeah, I can relate.
And so, but for those who are ready. And they're just on the edge of like needing this next thing, and they come into this environment. It really catapults them into healing.
Fantastic.
It really does.
Yeah.
And so, we're wonderful. Very fortunate to be doing this work, and we're just so happy to be talking about it tonight on the show.
Great.
And
to
we look forward to drumming
it.
Later on.
Yeah,
are you ready to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly, it certainly changed my life.
No,
I remember the first circle I came to. Remember in Santa Monica, I came wandering in late. I think I came to the first one. And
that's right.
Came up by you and grabbed some sticks and started wailing.
Right.
That was the first time I saw your maracas.
Yeah, maracas. Lovely maracas, huh?
Keep it clean.
You're killing me. Well, now let's talk about the future. The future of Raven Drum. What are you guys' thoughts on the future?
Well, we moved into... the invisible drum circle, so to speak, because we're putting out the CDs in a couple months. We're going to be, offering more things for people so that they can have the experience without us there. Because obviously, we haven't been able to serve as many people as we wanted to. So we're releasing the drum circle CD in the spring. And then we're going to be really changing up some of the things that we're doing live into more of a theatrical setting. Introducing it to audiences who want to be, quote, entertained, but also be in
participatory too.
Yes,
from the audience.
Experiential journey of healing.
Right, you were talking about handing the audience something to play, like shakers or something, right? You were saying,
And interesting enough, that came through the Lauren Monroe. Remember when we played at the Christmas party? And we brought all the drums and handed them out to people in the audience.
Right.
It was fantastic. I remember doing Mystery of You. We did Mystery of You, right?
Mystery of You.
And then people started playing, and it was fantastic. That, to me, is the way to do it, is really...
Interactive.
Right.
Fantastic. Well, all our drum circles are interactive, but it's going to be a little bit different this time. It's going to be a little more bigger than life, and we're going to be
like
developing
that.
It this year, and we're going to be performing it in 2012.
Awesome.
So we look forward
to that.
Yeah,
me too.
And you'll be there with us.
Oh, absolutely. Lots of exciting.
Don't have a choice.
I'm dropped. Beautifully. Beautiful struggle. That's a beautiful struggle.
So we need to move on.
We do
we?
Need. Yeah. We're going to break now. For all of you who are listening at home, I want you to just prepare yourself and to do some drumming with us.
Great.
And if you have never done this before, just take this time during the break to set yourself up. Be in a place where you can be comfortable, shut off your cell phone.
Yeah.
And if you have a percussion instrument, bring it in front of you. You can use a box of macaroni.
No, this is the macaroni.
A little rice-a-roni.
And this is the rice.
And
bottle of pills.
Or you can just relax at home and not even play an instrument, because you'll receive the healing benefits of it too. So let's take a quick break.
Great.
I'll be right back.
Awesome.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Welcome back, everybody. So we're ready to drum, and this will be our first drum circle for the year for 2011. And for tonight's intention, we're going to bring into all the things we talked about. And what a wonderful time we had just talking about reflecting the past 10 years with Moon and with all of you at home. So we're going to take this time to set our intention for the year and to really focus on things that serve us, things that bring happiness into our lives. And as we create this through our thoughts and through our rhythms, we'll also send that intention out to people that we love, people locally in our families and communities, and also people around the world who may need this help, may need this time to connect and feel supported. And know that as we use this intention through rhythm, that it's affecting us not only on an emotional level, on an intellectual level, but it's also affecting our cell tissue. It'll affect our respiration, our blood pressure, and any disease we have in our bodies. So take this time right now to sit comfortably wherever you are, and you may have an instrument in front of you, you may not. You can just sit and take this in without an instrument as well. So take a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Just breathe deeply in through your nose and out through your mouth. And feel your feet on the floor. And during this time, if there's any moment where you feel distracted, just come back to your breath, in breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. And bring your awareness back into focus. You ready, guys? Don't forget to breathe. take a deep breath. Take this time to visualize all of us together in a big circle, wherever you are at home. Just be in silence. And take a moment to be in gratitude for this very moment. How you doing, everybody?
Good.
All right.
Good. You're doing fantastic, baby.
Should we take a quick break? We'll take just a short break and we'll be back. We encourage you to call in 347-843-4903 and, have a conversation with us. We'll talk to you in a few.
Fantastic. Awesome.
Welcome back, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you for joining us. That was a wonderful experience in here with you guys.
That was good.
You rock.
No, you do. You do.
I just want to take a moment before we take a call to just remind everybody that we're having a Raven Drum Circle CD coming out in April. And you'll be able to get a full-fledged experience of what we do live in a drum circle. From beginning to end, and have a lot of guidance, there's visualizations, meditations, as well as really amazing rhythms that Rick created that we do live. And we're having a live drum circle in April, too, here in Los Angeles. So if you're local, go to the Raven Drum website, ravendrumfoundation.org, and you'll see all the information about the CD, about the live circle. And also, we're doing something really unique this year. I don't think you even know about this one. It's very cool.
Do I know about it?
You do.
Yeah.
If you join our community on Raven Drum, ravendrumfoundation.org, you'll be able to enter yourself in a chance to win a meet and greet with Rick on tour during one of the U.S. concerts this year.
Oh, fantastic.
This summer.
Good.
And so go to ravendrumfoundation.org, sign up for the community, and you'll be entered in to win. All the information's on the site. So that should be great. It'll be a fun experience for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, so
we have some folks calling, and we have a little bit of time to say hello. Let's see. We have our first caller here. Let me see if you're there. Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. You're live on Resiliency Radio.
How are you?
What's your name? I didn't get that information.
So it's Michelle. I live in Arizona.
Hi, Michelle from Arizona. You're here with Moon, Rick, and myself.
Hi.
Hi.
What can we do for you? Oh, I think we had a malfunction. Are you there, Michelle? Now we hear you. Are
Michelle,
you?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Rick. Hi, Moon.
Hi.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good, hey. Good.
Cool. That was really awesome.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Do you have a question for us? Do you have a question for Moon or Lauren or myself?
I have one for you, Rick.
Cool.
I was wondering, I watched the movie a lot, the Def Leppard story.
Yeah.
About how you guys got started and everything and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And during your accident when you were in the hospital, did you actually get the idea for your electric drum kit out of Popular Mechanics magazine?
No, I didn't. I hurt my right arm really badly as well, and I was all strapped up. And what they did, they put a piece of foam at the bottom of the bed so I could push myself up, so I didn't slide down. And while I was sort of looking at my feet one day, I realized that I could play all the basic rhythms that I ever learned. So I asked my brother to bring my stereo system into the hospital room, and I started playing along to all the songs that inspired me when I grew up, or while I was growing up. And that was the beginning. And then I called a friend of mine, a guy called Pete Hartley, and he said, I could build you some pedals. And that was the beginning of, the drum kit, the electronic drum kit.
Did they really shock your feet when you were, trying to learn how to use them? Did they really shock you like that?
No, that was a joke, because when I finally did Donington, and I was so overwhelmed, I started crying. I made the joke that I hope I don't cry on the pedals, because maybe I'll get electrocuted. So.
How long did it take you to train your brain to move your feet?
Very interesting question. It's actually a natural. I think it's an ancient response. And what happens is, I think it's a survival response. And basically, the information that is that's in your brain is automatically channeled to other parts of your body. For instance, I could do things with my right hand that I could never do before. And then when I finally got out of hospital, I realized that I could kick a soccer ball with my left foot. And I'd always been really right-footed. So I think it's a natural response. And then at a certain point, the learning curve takes over, and then it becomes something that you just get better at. You understand what I mean?
Well, I just want you to know that I cried too when you first came on your first concert after your accident, and I am just so glad that you are okay.
That's fantastic. I appreciate your call. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. You guys have a good evening.
Take
All right,
care.
And
Thanks,
you.
Michelle.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was great. Thank you for that.
We have one more caller here. She disappeared.
Yeah.
Let's see. Joanne? Is Joanne there? Hold on. We'll see if she's still here. Not sure if she is.
Yeah, remember, is that Joanne?
Joni. Joni, are you there? Let's see. Joni, can you hear us? Joni. Where did you go, Joni?
Listen, never mind about that. We can't forget about the magic sack either.
Right. We do have a chance to win tonight. And they'll be seeing a picture of you, darling.
My sack is actually quite...
My
sack is actually quite dusty at the moment because it's been sitting here, since the last show.
Right.
Last year.
This is the first time in 2011. And we're taking those of you who sign up for the Raven Drum community will be taking your names, and you'll be able to enter chance to win here on the show, and tonight is the autographed picture of you.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes, you'll be getting that autographed picture of Rick. So I guess, are we ready to do
to win tonight? I've dusted off my sack, and we're ready to go.
All right. This is new for you, Moon. He dances, too.
I like it.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
I can't hear the music. I think I need a little more inspiration here. All right.
Yeah.
We will do the streaming video one day, and you'll see what I mean.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's it?
Fantastic. Well, hang on. I need to rummage.
No.
Rummage.
And I've got one. I've got one right here. In my hand.
Can you read it?
Can you read it for me? It is a bear what?
Bear baby.
Bear baby.
Bear baby, you are the winner.
I'd say well done.
Well done, bear baby.
Bear baby.
Please contact us at Raven Drum and you'll receive your prize.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Bear baby.
So I think this is the conclusion of our show tonight. Do we have another caller?
Oh, we've got three callers, callers. Sometimes the switchboard is a little slow. Oh, number three.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Caller, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Wait, one
who's
second.
This?
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Oh, my name is Lisa, and I'm calling to say you guys are great. It's my first time listening. I'm an old friend of Lauren's, and I'm so excited that I got through.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Lisa?
Yes.
Hello? Which Lisa?
17th Road, Lisa Graham.
Oh, my God, Lisa Graham. I was just thinking about you. You have the same laugh.
Come on down.
Yeah. You have the same laugh. Lisa Graham, I've known you since elementary school.
Wow.
Before that.
Yeah, I know. Right, I'll kindergarten.
That's great.
So, Lisa, do you have a question for Laura?
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
Go on.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
Yeah, right. What was she like?
Did we lose her again? Oh, no. Something's going on with the system here. I think we have a bad system.
Bummer.
Can you hear us now?
But I heard what we said before.
There you are. You're back on.
Oh, okay. So, you guys are in California?
We're right outside of Los Angeles.
Very cool.
Is this the first time you've listened to the show?
It is. It is, yes.
You know what? I would love it if you, when you go back into the screen room to get your information to talk to you personally, because we're live on the radio online.
I know, okay.
Fantastic.
Right, so look me up or I'll look you up and we'll talk soon.
No, well, go back into the screen room when you don't hang up, and Carolyn will talk to you, and she'll get your information. I will be surely to call you.
Fantastic.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was cute.
Wow.
That was brilliant.
I love it.
That was brilliant.
Oh, it makes me so happy.
Apparently, line four is live.
Oh, good.
Let's see. Is there a caller on line four? Are you there?
Yes, that's Joni.
Hi, Joni. You made it.
Joni, do you have a question for us?
Lisa?
Joni? There's definitely mayhem going on in Blog Talk Radio this evening. So I think we're going to end our calls for tonight. It's a bit of chaos. Can you hear us? No. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you all next time. Our next show will be in March. And stay tuned for what guest it's going to be, because you just never know.
You don't. I tell you what, fantastic show tonight, and it's really special that we were able to reflect on a lot of the things that we've done over this last 10 years. I thank you, Lauren, Moon. Fantastic that you're joining us.
Thank you for letting me be.
Preston knows best. He's in the control room.
Yeah.
And Carolyn, we have a really great team here. And I appreciate it.
And sorry for those of you who called in and we're having some trouble with the switchboard. We'll figure it out for next time. Please feel free to leave us your comments. And we do appreciate everybody who joined in and gave us their best memories of Raven Drum on our Facebook. And we loved reading those stories. And so thank you all for doing that.
Very special.
And we'll see you at our next show in March. And take good care, everybody.
Lovely. Bye-bye. Thank you.
And I feel You're by my side.